You're listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast, bringing you the best of geek from week to week. Join your hosts, Dion and Quinny, and the occasional special guest as they talk movies, TV, gaming, toys, comics, and everything in between.
Captain's Log. Stardate 57436.2. First contact is a delicate, high-stakes operation of diplomacy. One must be ready for anything.
Are you pretending to do a captain's log?
We're all supposed to keep logs.
Okay, let me listen to it.
No, go away. Leave me alone.
I can't believe you're wasting your shore leave on this.
I can't believe it. This is the greatest ship I've ever seen.
Hey, you. Green girl.
Pump this. Don't pass out.
Oh. Sorry.
I'm good at exploring strange new worlds and solving space mysteries.
Let's see what I got assigned.
Holodeck waste removal.
That's Klingon prison stuff.
Whoop. Whoop. Whoop.
Ensign, do you see a captain's chair in your future?
I hope so, ma'am. Hey, if I part my hair like this, do I look more promotable or less?
The Cerritos might be falling apart, but that's our job to keep it together.
Ensign, you are a natural-born warrior.
Okie dokie.
And we're here?
No, we're actually way down here.
Keep it moving, Lower Decks. Next!
My senior staff are always up for a challenge.
Nothing like a cold beer after a smooth second contact.
Now that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah!
It is better down here, where the real action is.
We're gonna surf side by side.
An elite team.
We're not really elite. We're more like the cool, scrappy underdogs.
We are so getting fired for this.
Attention all decks!
Lives are at stake.
But our crew is ready and focused.
Ooh, this is the new shuttle with the blast shield! The blast shield is the blast shield. And it comes down and it goes up.
Blast shield!
We live on a spaceship. Nobody is dying from a spear wound. Hang in there. You got it.
Space, the funnest frontier? Long-range sensors have located a very sexy...
No! Definitely no! No! No to this and also that!
Set phases are too fun.
Oh, no.
Yes!
Did I just pervert that?
if you do it that way, it's really problematic.
Welcome to the Periodic Table of Awesome and Weird Hand Signals. I can make
I can pull in shapes. We're making colors. We're doing
signs.
Weird.
I can make a dust. Yeah. Wait. How do you do that
great.
Again?
I'm so glad we're doing this as a podcast.
Sure. No, this is it. Hello and welcome to the Periodic Table of Awesome. My name is Dion and I got that done. Who's next?
Yes. I'm Quinny. I'm Ensign Quinny.
Ensign Quinny. Great.
Yes, I don't like to think of myself as a captain or anything like that. I am very, very lowly ensign.
Who else have we got there? Well, who we got below? Hello down there. Who's on the lower
deck?
Commander Jill.
Oh.
Yes. If I was going to be a Star Trek race, I'd be Bajoran because I'm going to kick your ass.
With Bajorans, I'll kick your ass.
From here to right over there. Right into the wormhole. I'm going to kick your fucking dairy hair.
Perfect.
And I'm Captain Peter.
Yay!
Oh, two captains.
Thank Christ, we have
the best
a captain.
Chair on the bridge. So.
Oh right, yeah. It's like, ooh, this is a nice. Is that pleather? Is
They're
that
nice pleather? Chairs.
Good armrests. Lots of comfy things to lean on.
A leather strip is too pretentious.
Yes, and as a captain's chair, you also get that room where you can walk into and go tea, Earl Grey, hot. And just stand in there for most of the time. Is it ready though? I don't even think it is ready. Today we're
what
doing...
I'm really waiting for what? I'm waiting for a captain who rocks up and is just like whiskey, hard, now. All the time with the whiskey.
Whiskey, bottled, neat. I don't know whose whiskey it is. Although at some point...
Put it straight into my veins. Come on, straight in there.
Straight in there, yes, I know. Although, Quinny, I have to admit that tonight you are giving us a lot of the robot because you seem to be just you're pulling shapes and then pausing for a little while. So just letting you know that, just in case you wonder what's going on.
No, I did notice that there was a little bit of waiting for me to talk.
Sure.
And my jokes weren't landing the way that they usually do.
No, no, you can't be so expressive.
Yeah, we'll blame it on the video.
Blame it on the video.
Oh. Wow. Thanks, Commander.
Definitely Commander's in the house.
I see your phases are set to bitch.
Yeah.
Yes, it's hello. And hello all the ensigns in the chat. Dear security, please go into the chat and fix the problem that's there. All the red shirts, that's what I'm going to say. All the red shirts in the chat. Hello, how are you this evening? Yep, that's
they
fine.
They appear to be quite well.
Interactive and all. What are we doing today?
We're talking about an animated series and no, Casper, I'm sorry.
Sorry, it's not Avatar.
That's right, it's Avatar, The Last Airbender.
Yes, it's actually a big surprise, Casper. We're doing Avatar by way of the 22nd century.
Yes.
Not many people realize that the Star Trek universe is actually the continuation of the Avatar story just 1,000 years in the future.
Oh, fuck.
That tracks.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Sure it does.
Somehow. You know, all those Star Trek people doing earth bending and stuff.
Yeah, lots of kung fu in the future.
Yeah, totally.
Cool. But nice segue. Anyway, this holodeck's shit, and I want to end program. Restart program. Okay.
Okay, hey, welcome to the Periodic Table of Awesome. No. We are talking about Star Trek : Lower Decks.
Yes, as is everywhere I've seen it. Always add the colon, which is only the 473rd version of Star Trek franchise that has come out of freaking everything, because everything is in Star Trek. Star Trek everything.
Yeah. Yeah. So this one actually started midway through last year on CBS All Access, but outside of America, it didn't start airing until it depends on what it came to. So in Canada, it was on a different channel. But then here in Australia, it only started airing middle of January, I think. January 22nd. And yeah, I remember, I suppose late last year, I was kind of into it. I was like, yeah. You should all check this out. And everyone's like, whatever.
We couldn't be bothered trying to find a way to watch it, Queenie, I'm sad to say.
It's fine. It's completely fine. I totally understand. So my enthusiasm is now 3 months old. But that's okay. I'm still going to tell you how much I thought it was cool.
Think about all the things we reviewed around that time, Queenie, and about how your enthusiasm for us accepting another television show that we had to watch was perhaps less than the other crushing amounts of television that we have watched, especially the Supernatural retrospective.
I'm sorry, did you watch any of that amount of television?
No, I did not.
I believe that is that is some photon torpedoes fired across your bow right there.
Absolutely. Ray shields, or if there are no shields, dump the core. Fuck it. Just dump the warp core. That always seems to be the thing. It's like, damn, they're catching us. Dump the warp core. Ah!
It's funny, like many, many years ago, I played, me being the massive nerd that I am, played a role-playing game of Star Trek. So a bunch of mates of ours were like, yeah, let's do a Star Trek role-playing game. So you know how there's D&D, right? Where you can do that in any setting you want.
What?
So I feel like I have to say that because there are a lot of people who don't realize that there are role-playing games of fucking everything.
Quinny, were you the number one?
Invent role-playing.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry, Dion?
I said, were you the number one?
I was the commander of a really shit station in the middle of buttfuck nowhere.
Oh, so DS9.
Oh.
Yeah.
Quinny played DS9. Excellent. Cool.
Yeah, and it was very much like that. And it was because when you're role-playing, you tend to lean more towards funny and whatever makes you laugh at the time and, you know, the dick and fart jokes and everything. So our Star Trek game was decidedly questionable in tone. And I've realized after watching this show, I'm like, oh my God, it's like watching a fucking, like an animated version of us, you know, dumb characters doing stupid things. And that's why I really got into this show. I was like, oh wow, this is kind of awesome.
It's all the stuff that you think while watching the serious Star Treks and wish would happen and doesn't.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I like that it sort of has a really manic kind of vibe to it. You know, the characters are really, really, you know, they're still Star Trek characters. They're good at what they do and everything, but they're also really strange, weird dudes and dudettes.
Well, I mean, who is a Star Trek fan? Who is a fan of the Trek? And how deep do you go? Oh, well. Oh, fuck. Jesus.
Okay.
Right, I mean, I guess I've watched every iteration except for Deep Space Nine. I'm yet to conquer that one.
Oh.
But I don't know. I don't go much further than just watching it.
I mean, I'm a big fan of Star Trek the Motion Picture, and that's about it.
Okay.
Really like that slow burn kind of stuff.
I love a science fiction film that doesn't get to the point until maybe 10 minutes before the end of the whole show.
But it's got lots of really lovely shots of models.
Yeah, and bald women. Just amazing. Like, I love bald women.
Well, that's what I meant. That she was a model.
Yeah, yeah. Was she? Did they make her in the model shop? She was just a model.
Yeah, she's just a model.
Sorry, we drew around. Peter, you were going to say something. How big a Star Trek nerd are you?
No big. I'm a
zero big.
I'm a casual fan. I've seen all of the movies. Well, sure. Actually, probably haven't seen the most recent one because I guess I had other things to do. But I've seen all of the original movies, but not a lot of the TV series. An episode here and there.
What was the last Star Trek movie? I've forgotten.
There was one recently that Beyond. I'm pretty sure.
I think it's the one where Captain Kirk was riding around on a motorbike.
Right.
And I think Idris Elba was the bad guy.
Right. Okay.
That was the one that nobody really remembers or cares about.
Maybe I watched it and I don't remember it. I'm not sure what's happened.
That missed out on the Oscar for best makeup because they gave it to Suicide Squad.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh. Two films that I haven't seen.
A chick that had like smudged makeup, that one. Amazing alien prosthetics and stuff.
You always lose out to the smoky eye. Yeah. Come on. Maybe that's what they just, smoky eye is great. We'll just make the whole character smoky.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, that was actually a criminal piece of awards dickery. But yes, my initial Star Trek, I remember watching the original series of Star Trek when it was airing on like Saturday afternoons on like channels 9 or something like that. And I thought, this is really cool, but also it was really slow and kind of tedious. Mm. And how many years later, watched Next Gen and then went all the way down the rabbit hole and watched all of
Enterprise.
Deep Space. Sorry?
Enterprise.
See? I love Enterprise.
Yeah, me too. And it annoys me that I loved Enterprise so much.
Right. Oh, it's the only one that has a power ballad for an opening theme song. Like,
it's been a long
time. It's just fucking
crazy. Hang on, what was the. No, sorry, I was thinking Voyager.
It's V-Jet.
See, Voyager was the one that I watched all the way from go to O. And when it started airing on TV, I would go to the video store and I would get the VHSs of the new Voyager thing as they came out. Because, of course, here in Australia, when Voyager appeared on TV, it was on a Thursday night, it was on a Wednesday night. Maybe it's on a Tuesday. Maybe it's not on. Who knows? Yeah, yeah. Is the football on? Fuck your sci-fi.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Are they streaming the Wimbledon games for some reason in the middle of December? Who knows?
Yeah. Who
and
knows?
This was the world before streaming and the world before creators respected sci-fi fans.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It was the dark times.
Contentious there, Peter, because I'd like to say that the creators of science fiction have always respected the fans. They've just never had any.
Apologies, I meant broadcasters.
It's very, yes, yeah, broadcasters, yes, broadcasters, yes, yes. The people who
creators
buy
love
it.
Their fans.
Because it was like anything that you were super into and watching that was of genre. And like the second there was like, a football game or a tennis game or like
anything. Tiddlywinks.
This is why I had
Tiddlywinks. Oh, hang on. Yep, no, we've got to bump Star Trek again. Sorry.
I had mad respect for the ABC. Shout out ABC. For putting on Red Dwarf every single, like, consistently at the right time. Every, like, they would just fucking put it on. Like, it's like Thursday night, 10:30 p.m. It's going to be a chronological episode of Red Dwarf, which made everyone, like, go, thank Christ, I can follow a science fiction TV show along.
See, there was a golden age in about 97, 98, where Thursday nights became the science fiction TV night.
Yes, I remember watching Stargate with my family.
Stargate was on Thursday nights.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So there was a period where it was Stargate and it was always Stargate. And then afterwards it was always Millennium. And then it was always Babylon 5. And that was
Babylon
that was
5.
And you did not mess with that. And that was fucking great because people were able to tell and you know, understand whole story arcs. What a crazy concept. The Halcyon days.
Until we could buy it on VHS as a collection that only came out in a VHS, like, it's a bit of a nostalgia bomb. Sorry, that we're getting off.
It's okay. We're down for our
nostalgia. Do you remember those times when you used to be able to buy VHSs of television shows, but they only ever released a VHS that contained 3 episodes? So you'd have to wait because they'd slowly release the VHSs. So eventually you'd have a huge shelf full of slightly different cases and designs on them, which gave my OCD mad shit when I was trying to collect stuff.
Especially, I remember when they changed the Buffy season box sets from like the 3 DVDs in a case to the 1 case, and it ruined my entire shelf.
Absolutely. That's how I watched all of Voyager, was going to Star Channel Video in Devonport every 3 months, and when the new episodes came out, I would watch those 3 episodes and fucking devour them and then wait.
Wow.
Yep.
Slowly. You didn't even have a Blockbuster in Devonport.
Nah,
just some
Star
guy
Channel.
With a tent.
The 80s and 90s really taught us patience, didn't it?
Well, they did. And the thing I find fascinating, and this is a massive fucking detour, but I feel like that's where we're at with shows like WandaVision and Mandalorian and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Is that they're reteaching a new, like a different generation, that sometimes good shit comes to those who wait. Mm. And, you know, if you take time to tell a story, you'll feel like you've earned the story by the end of the season. But, you know.
But at least now, if you're not home at exactly 7 o'clock on a Friday, you don't miss that entire episode forever, never to be seen again.
Yes.
Because we live in the future now.
Until
yes.
Just not quite as far in the future as the show that we're actually talking about.
Yes, absolutely. And that show is Star Trek Lower Decks, and the synopsis of it is as such. The support crew living on one of Starfleet's least important ships, the USS Cerritos, have to keep up with their duties, often while the ship is being rocked by a multitude of sci-fi anomalies. That's a shit synopsis. That's
it. Is that it?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I'm also pretty sure.
The trailer gave a better synopsis.
Yeah.
I'm also pretty sure that they pronounce it Cerritos, like Doritos, but with Cerritos.
Yeah,
sorry, Cerritos.
Yes. Cerritos is a villain from the Power Rangers.
Like. Yeah, but sorry, but that's how I think of it. It's much cooler as Cerritos. Triceratops.
Don't try.
Do or do not. There is no.
Wrong franchise completely. This is definitely hard Star Trek. And it's always difficult when you see people coming out with an idea of like, hey, we're going to make a comedy about Star Trek. And everyone goes, ooh, should you though?
This is kind of like my first reaction when Quinny told me about it. I'm like,
it is kind of perfect. It's the natural evolution of any genre to end up in comedy and parody. And I think it's kind of nice that it's been done within the world and under the banner officially. Because it's been done, I thought, being a very casual fan, pretty respectfully and in a fairly fun way.
Yeah, because when I think Star Trek, I think comedy. especially, you know, just, you know, Star Trekking across the universe. That was definitely the song that we were expecting.
I remember that.
And also, you know, it's been so successful in so many other animated series on other franchises that comedy versions have just hit the nail on the head, right? They've been very topical, which is...
Journey Home was pretty funny. Yeah.
Yes, yes. Though I will admit there have actually been animated comedy stuff. Like you look at the Family Guy Star Wars specials. At the time that they came out, they were very, very funny.
Family Guy. I'm coming from the Star Wars side, which has released many, many attempts.
Comedy.
Yes. When they had all those films that were hilariously bad to pull from.
Wow.
I can be both. I can be loving and disrespectful.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you feel like the characters and general story in Star Trek lend themselves better to a comedy spin than the world of Star Wars?
Well, I think we've already had it twice.
Yeah.
I think we've shown a couple of times in different things. So whether it be in the Seth MacFarlane series, the Orville.
The Orville, yeah.
You know, that was essentially Star Trek, but as a comedy.
But not as comedy as you would expect, which was a bit confusing. And then I thought, this isn't a comedy. This is just like a serious sci-fi series.
Well, it became that. I think it was originally intended to be a comedy, but then it was Seth MacFarlane going, fuck it, I can do Star Trek. Yeah, I'm just going to do Star Trek.
Yeah, which is good. It's always
we do, put some dick drama. And fart jokes if we have to.
And then it got much better when it started doing that.
Yeah.
Yes.
As a comedy, I don't feel that it was successful at all.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh,
I mean, I do. I love some of the comedy. Like, and to answer the question I think that you posed earlier was, I think that Star Trek is a perfect series that is ready for comedy because it only ever shows the top tier people. It doesn't really delve too much into the operational crew of Star Trek. Like, yeah. There is that well-known joke that everyone below, you know, well, like after, you know, ensign, any ensign, especially ones that aren't focused on, is just worthless. Like, they're all background characters. Like there are a ship of hundreds or thousands of people and all you ever see of them is them getting blown out an airlock or, you know.
Yeah, somebody's got to die when they make first contact.
Absolutely. And I mean, we've all known the joke that if you're wearing a red shirt, you're fucked.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah. That's all well known. Whereas, and that's what I think this one does very successfully, by focusing on the people who are in the background, just, you know, in the Jefferies tubes, fixing the light thing with the wrench torque or doing the math. I mean, that's where the comedy can be. That's where you can have fun and twist the whole series.
Yeah.
I think, though, each Star Trek series sort of has, like, its own little family unit, and they do broach comedy every now and again in their episodes. And I think, like, having that more, open-hearted kind of... family bond with the characters and the viewers lends itself easier to comedy.
I would agree. Mm. Yeah. Yeah. It sort of has a feeling of we are not constrained by the gigantic plot device of the week. You know, we don't have to spend most of our runtime dealing with the giant problem. So bugger it. Let's focus more on the character interaction and the human interaction, which I think works. I mean, the other one I was trying to think of, and I was struggling to think of his name, was Galaxy Quest.
Yeah, I was thinking that really spins the genre extremely well. Galaxy Quest.
But that also does it in a way that is kind of making fun of it a little bit. Like that saying, huh, look at this, isn't it ludicrous?
I think it towed a line because it ended up with such a huge cult following in Galaxy Quest. I do think in a way because of the way it treated its characters and because of how much the alien characters believed in the crew and loved the crew, it really did kind of toe a line where it didn't... It. I don't think it was kind of too mean to the genre, and I think its kind of cult following has showed that it's quite a successful spin.
It doesn't disrespect the source material. Yeah. And I think that's the important part when doing comedy.
And it makes you feel like that you can play along, right? You know, anybody who is even a casual viewer of Star Trek can watch Galaxy Quest and go, ha, I understand why that's funny.
Yeah. I've heard the tales.
I have to say, Lower Decks, I probably understood about 20% of the jokes. But I wondered about that. I knew that the other jokes were jokes.
Yeah.
I just didn't. I don't understand that reference.
Context. Yeah.
Like, I like that it's happening, but I don't get it.
Yeah. I'm just happy to be here.
Yeah, basically.
I'm having a good time. I just like being at the party.
Yeah. me who is a fairly hardcore fan, even I felt there were quite a few times where I'm like, I know that's a reference to something that I don't get. It has that kind of Rick and Morty thing of come at you thick and fast with a whole bunch of dialogue, like super heavy, thick dialogue, with a bunch of jokes in it. And if one out of three lands for you, great.
Yeah, that's the thing. They'll just throw a handful of jokes in one sentence and then it takes you maybe like 5 minutes to process it all. And then you come back and you're like, hang on a second, that was really clever.
Yeah. It's absolutely full of deep references and fan service as well. So, you know, they'll throw a handful of jokes and I know I've got one of them, but I know that there's like another five in there that if I was a fan, I'd be like, yes.
Yeah. There's a few times where I'm like, oh my God, that joke. Like super, super, super in jokes.
I really like the spin on being able to see these characters that don't exist on screen. It's in the main series. It's very kind of Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are dead. It's not just that we're seeing the characters that aren't main characters, but we're seeing the ship that, like, it's not the Enterprise, you know, it's not the main ship. It's a ship that kind of, you know, does the second contact and, like, you know, delivers the packages and so it's kind of got these different, like, levels of being in the background of the Star Trek universe as well, and there are lots and lots and lots of fun jokes that are made of that.
Yeah, cool. And I do love that it is kind of focusing on the workman like kind of job. These are not the first contactors. These are not the ones who are in the most danger and everything like that. These are the ones who just rock up afterwards and are delivering things. These are the ones who actually have probably a pretty boring life.
Yeah, the bureaucracy of the Federation is like, congratulations, you've joined the Federation. Now I'm going to leave you with this team over here to give you all the replicators and show you how to, I don't know, have democratic elections. I don't care.
Look, it's a job that someone's got to do.
Sure. Absolutely.
Sure. Yeah. And even these guys are the lower end of that.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, Starfleet's not all about glory, so we're definitely exploring. Like,
yeah, it is. Star Trek's all about work. All about, you know, ejecting the warp core and blowing shit up. That's what I've learned. I've got the Kirk way of doing things. And we wrote the program, so I win.
But I think you make a good point, Peter, that it does a very good job of doing it all in universe. It feels like it belongs within Star Trek. Like, there are a lot of parodies that become so self-aware that they kind of start breaking the fourth wall and start nodding and winking in a way that makes you go, it's, I don't know, it's too much. Whereas this all feels like it is still within Star Trek, and it could exist within Star Trek. Like, you know, at any point in time, Data could have rounded the corner and found these guys fucking around with the turbo lift.
Sure. Well, he'd have to get onto a completely different and less important ship, perhaps, transporting him to a more important situation, and then he'd run into these guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
because the Cerritos, you know, it's not your A-game ship, right?
No. And I love the intro sequence too, because that is perfect, a replication of a Star Trek intro sequence, you know, where you're seeing these big spatial anomalies and shit, but then you're seeing the ship fuck it up and like bash into something, go, oh shit, well, hang on, better move out of the way of that, or get sucked into the black hole and then have to try and get back out of it because they're not paying attention. It's like, That's good. And I love that. And it made me very, very happy to watch it. Oh, no.
Ew. Yeah. Yes. Very happy to watch it. I know. Yep. But I mean, speaking of anomalies, there's Klingons off the starboard bow, Quinny.
hang on. Beam me up.
You realize you just held it up and went, ooh, ooh, ooh.
Yes. Yes, I am aware of what I just did.
I was going to say, like, talking of deep
Star Trek.
Talking of deep cuts, were you excited to see Acacian?
So
the doctor on this one was Tana. Like, she's Acacian, all right? And Acacian.
Okay. And I could not get Smarth from Too Many Cooks out of my head looking at the doctor.
Yes. But I mean, the Acacian doctor is a reference also to the Star Trek animated series, where there is another Acacian in that called Emress, who is the sexy cat lady that they threw into the animated series of Star Trek. Except in this one, I love that. The head of the medical is just like a alley cat. It's like, just kind of like, those are the kind of fun deep cuts that we're talking about in this series.
Yeah.
And it is really much like for the fans to enjoy, even though the characters are all kind of eventually lovable, but some really good shit.
I will say Dr. Tana was one of the parts that actually kind of pulled me out of the reality of it a little bit. Because it was a species we hadn't seen very often, and the only other time I'd forgotten that there was one of the occasions in the Star Trek animated series from 1960, question mark.
You call yourself a fan, but obviously I've seen it, and I'm only a casual.
Screw you, buddy. You've been on the Wikipedia.
Have I?
Probably. But yeah, that was one of those moments where the character design reminded me so much of an animated character out of Final Space.
Yeah.
That I started to go, oh, hang on.
Or Squanchy.
Is this
Rick
Final
and Morty.
Space, but in Star Trek? And then that started to make me think of all of the things about Final Space that I liked, but all the other things about Final Space that I really didn't like. And aspects of the.
As in
that
all of it?
Being,
was it all of it? Because I didn't
know. No,
like all
no. I liked a lot of Final Space. But the manicness of it and the constant chatter and the kind of screaminess and the.
Yeah, the screaming. Always screaming and yelling, no matter what happened.
Yeah, that there were elements of that that reminded me of this, or the elements of this that reminded me of Final Space.
Yeah, like Boimler when he's on his worst sort of things, you know. And shout out
I'm
to
a total Boimler. I'm
You're a total Boimler.
Oh, I'm sure.
Blackland level rules. What's wrong with that? Like structure. Like doing a good job.
Why? You know what? Suddenly, it all makes so much more sense.
Oh, you're the Boimler.
Yeah. Whereas Dion will always be the Mariner.
Yeah.
Will I though? Yeah. I'm not as narcissistically, I don't know.
No, but you're as chaotic.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Sure. Well, here's a clip. no, I'm joking. I have one yet, but I do have one this time around. We're going to do it.
Yay.
Great. Everything's going to work. It's fine.
Congratulations.
who else? What have we got in that cast rundown? Because we talked about Boimler, who's voiced by Jack Quaid, who seems to be doing a lot at the moment, considering he's doing also acting in The Boys, and as Boimler, maybe he just likes all of the boy roles.
Tawny Newsome as Beckett Mariner. I was very concerned that energy, that real like. Powerhouse energy was going to shit me up the wall.
But it didn't, or it did?
I'm still holding my my opinion on that.
Cool.
Were there characters that you loved? Jill, Peter.
Yeah, there's
I'm
a not, lot of
I'm thinking, of I kind of like all of them. Like I like the foursome that we follow. But I think I have to say I really like Jerry O'Connell's character of Jack Ransom.
I like that they're
the
all
number too- one. Like he's such a stereotype and cliche, and I kind of love it.
In the sense that individually, I think they're all quite weak characters. But I think it really comes out when they're all together and they're working together on things. I thought when they separated out the storylines to focus specifically on one or two of them, I was always like, it's not as funny. But when they're all working together, you know, that's when it was kind of funny. And I like that.
Yeah. And I mean, throughout the course of the season, you start to get to the point where the other characters who may be more in the background, so somebody like Shaxx's, who's the Bajoran tactical officer, kind of becomes a bit more of an important character. And you're like, yeah, he's kind of badass, but also a complete idiot. And then the captain, Dawn Lewis, Carol Freeman, I really enjoyed seeing a captain who was both extraordinarily competent but also kind of massively insecure in weird ways. Like, you know, has this big problem with their daughter. Like, everything else, she's kind of got her shit together. But on that one foible, she's completely, like, not got anything going on.
Look, I kind of liked that play between those two characters, though. You know, there was something there in terms of, you know, mother-daughter relationship, and it doesn't matter how good of a mother you are, you can't control your kids. Yeah. And it must be hard to, you know, grow up with your mum being a Starfleet captain and, you know, then entering Starfleet and having all of these expectations on you. Like, there was something that actually rang quite true to me, you know, out of that character development. And it's probably the most character development we get out of anyone in the entire show as well. Everything else is fairly surface level.
Agreed. Yeah, I think Boimler kind of maintains it being almost a one-note gag for most of it.
Well, for all of it.
I guess Beckett is pretty much your lead character, the one who gets the most amount of development.
Yeah.
Okay, I think I'd like to be able to talk more about different episodes and stuff like that, but that's kind of heading into spoiler territory. So I reckon let us rate this and then we'll go to a clip and find out more about the show. Peter, give us a rating. Congratulations, I have thrown you under the bus.
No, I'm gonna go pretty high because I think it's a lot of fun and I think it does a lot of stuff really well. I'm gonna say 80 because I think it really achieves what it sets out to achieve. The missing 20% is for all of the in-jokes that I didn't get.
That's just your own research. I mean, come on.
Yeah. What, did you just haul Peter over the coals on research?
Yeah. The bus drove over it, but then I just picked up her course and ran it.
At the moment of Star Trek that I would have to watch in order to get a joke on a comedy cartoon.
An easy
Yeah, well, most of them are 45 minutes, so you've got hours.
Yeah, an easy 13,000 like episodes of just general Star Trek related material.
And best get started before next season of Lower Decks then.
Sure. I mean, you've got a few months, so, you know. Okay. Just stop sleeping.
Yes. Jill, I know you're tired. Stop sleeping.
I didn't work in my buffer time today.
No.
I'm going to give it a 90.
Ooh,
because, hi. Yeah, sorry I'm so tired, but I am really enthusiastic about this show. I enjoyed the heck out of it. Like, I got every single gag, and it's really playing to the audience that is way across Star Trek. And, like, that was just so enjoyable for me. And I love an animated series where I can just like cackle to myself about how stupid the gags are, but also love that they do it in like such a loving and dedicated way to the source material. And yeah, it makes me happy, this show. Wish I had watched it sooner. Sorry, Quinny.
That's okay. It's completely fine. I know that people have to come to these things in their own time. Dion.
Yep.
Sorry?
Yep.
Good. Theon is a yep.
I mean, well, look, I mean, I will give it, I'm going to give it 75 because I'm not 100% on it. And I just kept taking things off for it that I was like, like, I mean, I didn't really like the one of the episodes, which I'll talk about afterwards, which kind of just shat me how boring it was. It was very dull to me, even though it was supposed to be very funny. And I'm like, it just didn't hit me, but that's okay. Overall, though, I have to agree with you. It is funny. It's worth it. It is good. I'm not the biggest Star Trek fan, you know, but I'm down for it. And I'm also, you know, super chuffed that they've actually placed the series in the timeline at an appropriate juncture, which is just after the Star Trek Nemesis film. So it's prior to all of the other shit that has happened, but just after a terrible cloning of Jean-Luc Picard. Yes, so we could get a whole bunch of actors who are still around in there.
And the best part about it is you can have any of those original or next-gen characters show up if you want, because their animation models don't age.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm. Okay, I'm going to go 87. I really enjoyed it. I have that thing tonight where I'm going, fuck, I really loved it 3 months ago. And now I'm trying to remember the things that made me really excited about it. But I think it is that feeling of going, here is a comedy series that is specifically aimed at a particular audience, namely the Trek audience, that knows it's playing to the right crowd and knows the jokes to tell and knows how to make you feel like, haha, this is very funny for you.
Yes.
But also in the same way that Final Space had that very clever balance of action and comedy and heart, this one I think also manages to get those three things pretty well balanced for me.
And we've got cool. A couple of ratings in the chat, which is good. So Casper's given it 85 and Predaking is giving it 84.
Nice. It's
quite well received. Nice. Quite
well received. Pretty up there.
Yeah. Excellent. Those all go into the score on the website. You all get to have a say there.
Speaking of old Star Trek, let's go to a clip.
Yay.
Andrew. Yeah, I know. It's always weird revisiting planets from the TOS era.
TOS?
It's what I call the 2260s. Stands for Those Old Scientists. You know, Spock, Scotty, those guys. Seems like they were stumbling on crazy new aliens every week back then.
Nothing against second contact missions, but the Cerritos should be popping in on those legacy civilizations before they unravel.
Yeah, but popping in is against regulation. We would need specific orders.
I just hate seeing a perfectly good society get destroyed by a gamester of Triskelion or whatever, because Starfleet has a policy of some intervention.
Some intervention. this is where it succeeds. It succeeds very well, doesn't it? By going, okay, here's the failures of the Federation, and let's just show how frustrated some members of Starfleet can be with all the rules and regulations.
It must get pretty tedious when you're going, oh, okay, well, we clearly don't pay that much attention to the Prime Directive.
Yeah, they pick and choose the rules.
Yeah,
I wouldn't really call it a directive. Maybe they should change that too. It's the Prime Suggestion.
Yeah, Prime Suggestion.
Yeah. What we it's kind of like a weird psychological doublespeak, isn't it? It's like, well, we're not going to tell you what to do, but you really shouldn't do this.
Yeah. So, okay, favorite episodes things that we now feel that we can talk about. We are in the spoiler section. We can talk about this. So if you are still wanting to watch the rest of the show, maybe just be careful, you know. We're going to talk about it in full detail. Bits that you loved, bits that so Dan, what was the one that you found didn't work for you?
Oh, the one with the fucking annoying clippy badge that was trying to help things.
Oh, fuck, I loved that one.
That was the funniest episode.
I loved Badgie.
It was such a play on that stupid Clippy from Microsoft.
I know. I was watching the whole thing. Like, this is boring.
This is boring. Oh, wow.
And in the back of my mind, I'm like, I want to see the dog again.
Especially
if it's just like, I've upgraded it and it walks across the roof. It's like, what the fuck?
And that's and funnily enough, that one is in going with Peter's very, very literary thing of referencing Rosencrantz and Guildenstern. That one is Much Ado About Boimler. That's the one with the dog.
My favourite moment was in the episode where they programmed a Star Trek-style movie into the hologram. And there was that fantastic sequence of seeing the Cerritos for the first time, which is that like super indulgent intro to the shiny spaceship sequence.
And it was
like, that is a reference that I do understand.
Yeah, that is from that boring first movie that nearly killed the franchise.
But then like every sci-fi film after that as well, like it goes on as much as the first movie, but that kind of like seeing the shiny spaceship for the first time and wiping the tears out of our eyes in the window. There she is.
Yes. And that one felt absolutely like, yes, we're doing that. We're referencing all of that. And I love that.
Yeah.
Jill. Yeah, oh, sorry, you go, Pete. You weren't finished.
I'm finished.
Oh. I'm having trouble remembering a lot of them. I did start like this afternoon to try and go over a few. One of the last ones I watched was the Boimler Effect episode. I just like the idea of buffer time. Like, you know, people yes. working in time to have a margarita from the replicator when they finish the job. And I'm like, you know what? I do that in my own work as well, because why like overstretch yourself when you could build in time to have a break?
Well, that's actually been a big part of understanding like people's work needs and so forth. And I think it's kind of been referenced a few times in Star Trek before of when the captain says to Scotty, how long is this going to take to fix? Scotty will always over-exaggerate a little bit to make sure that he gets it done early and looks like a fucking magician.
Right? Yes. But it's so important for mental health as well.
And yes.
Like the well-being of your employees, really.
Yeah, and that whole episode, you know, you're sort of watching them just get more and more stressed because they've got...
Exactly.
And, I mean, this is what we learn. I mean, this is getting a bit political and everything, but this is what we learn in things like Amazon and things like that where people don't have enough time to use the bathroom properly.
Yes.
And there's an assumption that while you're working for a company or whatever, your time is 100% theirs, which it's not healthy. It's not... No. Well,
look at this animated series telling the hard truth.
Yeah.
On Amazon Prime.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Oh no.
So ironic.
Look, if the Simpsons can spend over 30 years slagging off their network, I mean, slight occasional like you know sideways jabs at large corporations and their culture is not a bad thing. I mean, isn't this what it's for? You know, yes. It's just the amount of dissent is factored into the economic. Anyway, we're just going into like you know, into a different.
What do we think? What do we think of the last episode? Because that got like proper sci-fi action for us,
yep.
And like super spoilery, but I freaking loved it.
Yeah, there is an awful lot.
Can we say what happens
said.
At the end of that episode?
Well, it okay, is spoilery. To
we did spoilery. Say spoilers.
There is a big spoiler alert all over the screen.
Yeah, yeah, it's right.
So
there.
If you are uncomfortable and you don't want to know, block your ears. But go for it, Jill.
Okay, so the Titan shows up, and fucking Riker and Deanna show up. Oh my god! Like I scream, like it's fucking Riker. Yeah.
Yep. I think that was kind of a nice moment. Like, if you had any doubt that this is in the universe,
yes, exactly.
In the universe.
Yeah.
Like, it's not just throwaway lines about Captain Kirk and Captain Picard.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
In the universe.
But then again, I mean, we also had a brief appearance by Q, didn't we? So,
yeah, oh my god, yeah.
Well, don't also forget when Riker shows up, they're a bit late because they've been watching Enterprise, which is the historical.
So somebody in the chat earlier was talking about Enterprise and going, oh, Enterprise is great. And I'm like, it had a terrible ending. It has the worst fucking last episode ever committed to TV. And it's where the entirety of Enterprise, a show that we all really enjoyed and stuff like that, was revealed to be a holodeck that Riker was watching in between a couple of episodes of The Next Gen.
Oh, I understand that reference now.
All of the hard work of what happened in that show. All the important stuff that happens, it was just like, you know what? None of it's actually important.
No.
Because it wasn't real.
No, it was all just a holodeck. or it was Riker happening to watch an episode. Yes, Predakanga.
I think we just need to have a blanket thing now. When we say spoilers, it's not necessarily a spoiler for the show we're talking about. It's just a spoiler in general. Like, the logo's up there, people. I mean, that way.
We are going to spoil other shows.
A little bit of a statute of limitation on spoilers, though. How long ago was this show released?
Good decade.
Yeah,
or
Enterprise was a long time.
I think we're okay for spoilers. Yes.
I mean, it's been a long road getting from there to here.
How do I mute Quinny?
I thought the last episode was like super fun. It felt really sci-fi. It felt like really kind of like exciting. You know, real action things might actually. I like at some point. At one point, I was like, "Oh no!"
I love all the contraband just hidden among the ship. Beckett's just like punching panels and like weird batlets and shit are falling out of the ceiling and a tribble. Yeah. That's personal use.
Yeah,
and I'm like, I don't want to know
what anyone uses a tribble for personally.
But I also love that moment, and I always love this moment where the kind of underdog characters you've been following get to kind of take over and do the good things and save the ship and show what they've learned as a team. I love that moment. Mm-hmm. So I was really glad that they had one.
Yeah. And I mean, there was probably always going to be the danger that they may not get more. Like this was a pretty experimental kind of thing. So I guess if you're gonna, do everything you can in an episode to go, we're going to blow our load on this last one. Sorry, I was trying to think of a better way of saying that. We're going to fire all torpedoes on this last episode.
Now I just can't think of anything else.
Sorry.
I'm going to go to warp speed.
Thank you. Any one of these would have been better.
Just give them a broad spray of photon torpedoes right in. No, wait. That's also bad.
Just all over your neck.
Jesus.
Set phases for fun.
I will also say that the first episode had elements that I think made it fun to go, okay, well, this is going to have a bit more action in it than I thought. Like, there's the whole thing of them essentially fighting down rage zombies.
Yeah. It's pretty full on for a first episode.
It really was. And I think it felt a little bit more like Rick and Morty. In that sort of, you know, very dark, quite violent, not almost nihilistic kind of attitude. And I was like, oh shit, are we going to get this for an entire season? Mm. But then it kind of pulled it back and it made it fun. And I was like, okay, cool, nice.
Yeah. That's what we wanted out of this sort of show. I mean, like, you know, we've been wrong before when we've reviewed something to straight away and not give it enough time to breathe. And this time we just held our breath while we waited to see what was going to happen. But in the end, we're like, it's fine. No, it's good.
The good thing is we are getting another series of it. So later this year, we're getting another season.
Yes.
Which I'm very excited about.
Excited to see more of Boimler.
Yeah, I'm down for a bit more Boimler. I get some more Boimler. Go some more Mariner.
At all, who do you want to see? Which character do you want to see develop further?
Ooh.
I think Rutherford. I don't think he gets enough screen time, and he's quite interesting. Yeah,
he's just a nerd. Quirky. He's just a science nerd who just wants to do math.
Yeah, but he's quirky. I kind of like it. I like how he was trying all those different jobs, and then found out he's actually quite good at security when he takes down all the Borg.
Yeah,
just doesn't like it.
Yeah, it's like, not for me. I also love that that's the kind of thing for Star Trek. Like, there's this whole sort of thing is like, there's stuff that you're really good at. It's like, oh, but you don't want to do it. Okay.
And I also like that his manager was like, yeah, totally gung-ho for him to do it. It's like, yeah, I totally believe in you. You do whatever you want. And you're like,
yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, quite refreshing.
Well, you see, that's why there's buffer time.
Yes. I will say that there was I don't know, I'm trying to remember whether this came out at roughly the same time as Picard or not, but it did suffer a little bit from having almost the same Deus Ex right at the last episode.
Oh.
The Titan rocked up with
yeah.
Yeah. with Riker on it. And I was like, again? Yeah. Really?
No, it's bound to happen. You know, you're just like, hey, I wrote that. It's like, oh, we wrote that too. Oh dear.
We wrote ours 3 years ago because it takes a long time to animate shit.
Yeah. And we wrote ours 3 years ago. Oh.
But no, like Alex Kurtzman, that's like, you know, producing this, you think like people would be talking to him. He's quite across most of the treks.
You would think so.
Maybe he was just putting in there to see what would happen. He's like, I wonder how much this will cause. Yeah, go for it. Or maybe they were just like, yeah, animated Star Trek, no one's gonna watch that. Yeah, sure, you'll get to the final episode, whatever. Green light.
Just recycle
their
thing.
It's like, yeah, sure.
Sorry, I'm looking at the Memory Alpha, which is essentially the Star Trek wiki.
I just want to say, in direct relation to that, Quinny, shout out to every contributor and author and writer and person who goes onto Memory Alpha to fill that shit out, because you guys do way better than Wikipedia. Like, I mean, you can take
a
3 minute section of some Star Trek thing and give 9 pages of dissertation as to what the fuck happened there and why it's important.
Yeah, so, I'm almost certain that the synopsis of what happens in the episode is longer than the actual script of the synopsis of the episode.
I also know
that the references are definitely longer.
Yes.
Like, yeah. Single thing that is mentioned briefly in any episode is cross-referenced and...
Yeah, isn't it great that they broke it down into 4 parts for every episode, which is, here's the teaser part, Act 1, Act 2, and Act 3. And first up, there's a chapter on each.
Yes.
You're like,
yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's interesting, but sorry, you were saying Memory Alpha.
I was actually going to say there's their references and everything. Literally, I was going to say that the amount of stuff in each episode is astonishing.
I just hope that eventually
the
references
that they're doing.
Yeah, they write somewhere into the TV show where there is, because I can just see one that's here. It has like section 5, links and referencing, and section 5.5, references. And then section 5.5.1, meta references. Like, God, it's a cascading tree down. I just hope it comes back to the thing, which is like, you know, whatever in Star Trek universe archivist responsibility job on the ship is just like, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to ask you to explain your childhood again to me so I can just make sure I get the nuance of what you were saying. I'm just writing it all down. Sorry.
Yeah. I'm hoping somewhere around the Cerritos.
Yeah.
Got to get the pronunciation right. Sorry. The Doritos. Start showing up in some of the other Star Trek related paraphernalia. I would love for there to be like Cerritos show up in one of the games, like, you know, sure. Star Trek Total War, and in the background you just see the Cerritos just like bashing into things just accidentally.
It would be absolutely perfect that just before you fly out away after completing a mission or something, so just when you're about to like, you know, take us to warp 5, and in the background the Cerritos comes in and then you fly out. It's like every time it happens, it's like, I'm gonna plot us a course, we're going to here, and it goes, okay then, and as it starts to go, the Cerritos just comes in and just goes bye, and from you leave always bye.
I also love that opening sequence where like it's what's very clearly the battle with the Borg at Wolf 359.
Hi. Yes. And they're just like pew, and then fly away.
Exactly. It's like, you can literally see them go, yeah, nah, fuck it, we're out.
We can't do that. We're not that ship. We're not that
this
ship.
This is not our fight.
Yeah.
And I really do love that. It makes me very excited.
It's not, that's why it's Star Fleet, not Star Me.
Yes. Ooh. Yes. Absolutely. Oh, yeah. And I do hope that, you know, we can buy toys of the Cerritos and stuff like that, because it is, I like that it sits in the the whole universe. I like that. That's, you know,
they'd never
it's
make,
a real thing.
They'd never make toys of anything Star Trek related, Quinny. That's just ridiculous. Why would they do that?
Sorry. Actually, one of my favorite things, which is one of the dumbest things in the whole series. In the 60s, there was a toy helmet that was released as a Star Trek, basically it was a helmet with a flashing red light on top of it. It was like a
Star
police
Trek
helmet.
Related. They just chucked the logo on it.
They literally just put the word Spock on the side of it. Oh, it was one of the shittiest pieces of like, hey, we've got the license, fuck it, throw something out there and put some Star Trek on it.
We've got all this excess stock from something that didn't sell.
Exactly.
Slap a Star Trek sticker on it.
And this show makes it fucking canon. You see one of the characters pick this fucking helmet up and walk out with it. You're like, yeah. It's so good.
That
it's
is like, the level of gags in this show, guys.
Absolutely. referencing an obscure toy from the 60s. But then again, yeah. I guess that's kind of what they did with The Mandalorian too.
True.
Yes. The rice cooker thing, right?
Okay. With the ice cream maker.
The what?
The ice cream maker.
The what? I'm offended.
Sorry, D. I'll hand in my card.
Yes.
No more nerd cred for me.
No.
Jeez.
All right. Oh, well, that was Star Trek The Lower Decks. Definitely
That's
get down there.
My last show for tonight. I'm no longer welcome.
Go visit. Yeah. Jill's dead to me now. but that would like take a tour down to the Lower Decks. Go and see what's down there. You might like it.
Yeah, there was a series of fan films made for Star Wars, like Tag and Bink and stuff like that, which was fan films. No, what? No, do you hate me?
We need to talk about Tag and Bink. Just read the comics. It's fine. Okay, you don't need to do all the rest of the Star Wars comedy. Is better left never mentioned.
Okay, <It's> like, right.
You want comedy? Just go and watch episode 133.
Okay. Look, Misa, unsure what you're talking about.
They're not even that funny. No.
Anyway, yes.
Anyway, before we head off for the end of this podcast, I have a very exciting thing that we've received. We actually received mail.
Hey!
Yay! I'm super excited about this.
That's
exciting. So, please, this one came to us directly via our direct messages on Facebook, but if you would like to send a mail, it goes to info@theperiodictableofawesome.com, or you can send in voicemails, you can do whatever, but be like this lovely person and send us communications because it makes us happy. Okay, so this one is from Starfire Phoenix, who is a friend of ours from Adelaide, funnily enough.
I know that person.
Yeah, you do. You do know that person. She says, hello, awesome people. I've been catching up on your podcast and I want to thank you for reviewing Supernatural so that I never have to watch it. It was super interesting to listen to, but I don't have the time to watch 15 seasons of a new show.
That's absolutely what we're here for.
Yeah, our time is worthless. I'm with you, thanks, Starfire. I'm like, yes, I am happy to not have done that and to listen to people who have done that.
Yes. It's appreciated. Thank you for watching it so that we don't have to.
Yeah.
15 years of my life. For you.
Boiled down into a 1 hour show.
Oh, I think it was more than 1 hour.
Well, 3 hour cruise.
Yeah, 3 hour cruise. But that's pretty good. It's wonderful. So thanks for that. Yes.
Oh, she continues on.
Oh, sorry.
She said that was just the funny bit because I thought it was really great. she says, part of me would love to hear you review Babylon 5. However, I'm super protective of it. So if you don't like it, I'm not sure I want to hear it.
Fair call.
I'm currently rewatching it and I'm aware that it's a bit dated, but the baby geek in me was in love with this show in the late 1990s. And me too.
Well,
And that leads me to another suggestion. Yesterday was the season finale of The Expanse, and it's a really cool show, and would love to hear you talk about the current season. Stay awesome from Allison, Starfire Phoenix.
Yay. Well, thank Allison, you very much. I have a treat for you, because I both love and hate Babylon 5. I'm down for Babylon 5. Who wants more watching projects for the background, guys? I'm current.
I've never seen it, so yeah.
Well, shit, have you got? So you've never watched Babylon 5?
No, it was a bit like out of my like realm, I guess. Like, yeah, I grew up in the 90s watching TV, but like wasn't huge into sci-fi at that point. Okay. So like my first step into sci-fi was Stargate during the 90s. So yeah,
right. I could just hear
it's
a
like
tiny,
I've never seen Battlestar either. So.
I could just hear a tiny heart breaking in the chat of like, but what about Avatar? Oh, let's watch Babylon 5 from the start. Yeah, sure, let's do it. I'll go right there. It's like, okay.
You guys can do Avatar. I've made it quite clear that that's on my spite list and I won't watch Avatar. But that's a whole other personal reason.
That's Casper in the chat's like, I need to finish Battlestar. I'm like, no, you don't, buddy. It ends poorly. It's a great series, but fuck, it's got a terrible ending.
Was you it a holodeck poorly. Scenario?
Kind
Not
of.
Not quite.
A bit weird. Look. I'm down for Babylon 5. I would definitely go. Peter, have you ever seen Babylon 5?
I have not. I have come up at the same time as Jill, so I think it was just a little bit early.
It probably was.
Yeah. I would have been, 1993 it started? So,
just
a little bit early to be watching sci-fi.
It was kind of, for lack of a better term, kind of old man sci-fi.
Yeah.
Like, possibly wouldn't have got me. Like, if it didn't have Daniel Jackson, then.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. See, Stargate was like family sci-fi, but Babylon 5 is like, hardcore sci-fi.
Dad-fi.
Like, dad-fi. Yeah. Dad-fi. I mean, it's a weird series that it starts, and like, I watched the first episode of it, and I was like, have I fucking missed an entire season of something here? Because it literally starts by saying, we've just finished a giant war. Like,
all good dad stories start.
Do not watch chronologically.
You know, you've got these two, you know, very important characters who are both, you know, old men in their sort of, 50, 60 sort of thing, who are old warriors. And there's a lot of politics and there's a lot of mythology and stuff. And I loved it, but I could also see that to a younger audience, it may be kind of like,
Man, it's fucking space soap opera. It's really good. It's really, really good. And it still has a lot of socio-political commentary. And I'm going to say, and there's also a lot of shit to wade through because it is also trash. As I said, it's space soap opera. Also, don't watch it chronologically. I will give a list of how to watch it because there's a whole bunch of seasons and also a bunch of linking movies. If you watch them,
like Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah,
but way better. Better up until a point. Because let's not talk about the telepath war. Anyway,
But one of the interesting things and one of the benefits of Battlestar that I will say is that it was all written by one dude, J. Michael Straczynski,
Or Babylon 5? Which one are you talking about?
Babylon 5.
Yes, Babylon 5 is J. Michael Straczynski.
All written by one dude apart from one single episode. And that episode was written by none other than Neil Gaiman.
Oh, whoa. He's an exception to the rule. That's fine.
Yeah, like the whole thing was written and in folders on his desk for the whole thing apart from one episode. And I was like, okay, that's pretty fucking cool.
And that's the thing he always used to laugh about is go, people were always like, oh, but what's going to happen in the series? And he's like, oh, I don't know, you just have to watch and find out. And he said, it's literally sitting on my shelf. Anyone could walk into
my office, pull down a folder
what's going on. Except for they had to like compress some shit because they always, that was also the science fiction series that was continuously threatened with cancellation, who would always be renewed at the last minute. So they kept trying to like tie the whole thing up They thought, oh, we'll have to title up. And then they're like, oh, you're renewed again. He's like, oh, for fuck's sake, I could have just extended and made that in any way, whatever.
You know? Oh, yeah. No, that actually, that does have, I think it's the end of season four, has one of the worst ones of those where it's like, oh, shit, we've been cancelled. Are we going to get cancelled? Right.
That's the telepath wars.
Yeah. Let's wrap everything up. Let's just finish it in two episodes. And then they're like, you get another season. They're like, well, what the fuck do we do now?
I don't care. I just want everyone to watch The Legend of the Rangers so you can suffer.
But it sounds like this is going to take a while to catch up on.
Sure. Yeah.
So what will we do next week?
Oh, good point there, Peter.
That's a very good point. I think we're going to look for something a little bit more recent, perhaps, but still in the sci-fi genre. We're going to be looking at a series featuring one of our favourite bad guys from Doom Patrol, the actor Alan Tudyk.
You mean Wash from Firefly. I loved him in season two of Firefly.
Okay.
you just like fan baiting, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, why
people
don't
are
you?
Googling furiously. Yeah.
What? It was season two. Yeah, it was. It was available on the service.
anyway, yes, it was great.
Yeah, well, what was it?
What's it called?
It's called Resident Alien.
Oh.
And we've seen some trailers for it. There are a few episodes out. We won't be talking about a whole season because there isn't a whole season out.
Yep.
But yeah, it's where Alan Tudyk is an alien who is pretending to be a doctor in a small town. Or is it cop? Sorry.
It's on Sci-Fi. S-Y-F-I. Sci-Fi. Yes. Which is good because the last thing I saw Alan in was Con Man, which if you can find that that short web sort of base series, Con Man is very funny. And Alan is a very funny man. I like him, everything he does.
Actually, that is very true. If you can seek out Con Man, there are two seasons of it. The first season was available for free and the second season went out through Comic-Con TV or something and was almost impossible to fucking get. But it is one of the funniest piss takes of working in conventions ever.
Gillian was in it too, wasn't he?
Yep.
Yeah. And, I remember hearing about it, but I hadn't seen it.
And Nolan
in fact,
North.
Most everybody from Firefly and pretty much every sci-fi show you've ever seen shows up at some point in time because they just made it around conventions while they were doing conventions.
That's cool.
Yes, it's very funny.
Yes, it's very, very funny. Also, shout out to Chris, who gave us a lovely tip in our Ko-Fi.
Oh,
and if you
Chris.
Would like to put a tip in our Ko-Fi, you can follow the link that's on there that doesn't have a button yet. But we'll fix that. You know.
Baby steps.
Yeah, please go to ko-fi.com/TPTAwesome. TPTAwesome. Yes.
Now, we have been talking about doing potentially some other shows. Like, this is something I'd like to talk to people about. If we were going to do a different kind of show, like a more casual hangout kind of show, what other night would you like for that to be on? Is it a Friday night kind of thing?
What's good for you guys? We've got Tuesday. Tuesdays are the thing.
Yeah.
But have you got another night you'd like to do a thing?
Yeah, if you wanted to just hang out with us in a more kind of casual thing, you know, sure. Play some games, talk some shit.
What works for you guys?
Yeah. When works for you? We just want to work in with you.
What are you doing?
Maybe
you
not doing Friday right night because that's Disney Plus night.
Yeah.
Though there is also that possibility of, like, if you were to do a
post-show,
would people like to do a WandaVision post-show hangout something like that?
Yeah, that could work.
Disney Plus Friday post-show.
And also, because this is totally high school, let's vote on who you would like to see on. We'll put a poll up and you can. Yeah. And I totally won't be employing a Indian bot farm to vote for myself.
Really play into some deep securities there, dude. Insecurities, Dion. I'm not sure I'm okay with that.
not playing into the insecurities, I'm just putting them out there and you're like, hey.
I feel like that's more wallowing in them.
Yeah.
Making snow angels in his own insecurities.
Ew.
Yeah. Well, let's go back to the thing. The real question is, what night would you like to see additional things? How can we help you?
Yeah. When would you like to hang out with us? Because we would like to hang out with you more.
Sure.
Cool.
It's also COVID safe. It makes everyone happy.
Yeah. Absolutely. Sweet. Okay. It has been an absolute pleasure. We will do it again next week. Thank you. I have been Quinny.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. I've been Dion. I was like, yeah, wait, what? No, yeah.
I have been Peter.
I've been Jill.
And we have been the Periodic Table of Awesome. Live long and peace. Across the universe.
It's worse than that, he's dead, Jim, dead, Jim, dead, Jim. It's worse than that, he's dead, Jim, dead, Jim, dead.
It's life, Jim, but not as we know it, not as we know it, not as we know it. It's life, Jim, but not as we know it, not as we know it.
Yep. There's Klingons on the starboard bow, starboard bow, starboard bow. There's Klingons on the starboard bow, starboard bow, Jim.
Starship Captain James
G. Ah, we come in peace, shoot to kill, shoot to kill, shoot to kill. We come in peace, shoot to kill, shoot to kill, men.
It's worse than that, he's dead, Jim, dead, Jim, dead, Jim. It's worse than that, he's dead, Jim, dead, Jim, dead.
Well, it's life, Jim, but not as we know it, not as we know it, not as we know it. It's life, Jim, but not as we know it, not as we know it, Captain.
There's Klingons on the starboard bow, starboard bow, starboard bow. There's Klingons on the starboard bow, scrape them off, Jim.
Star trekking across the universe. Trekking across the universe.
Slowly going forward and things are getting worse.
In general, it's just that.
You cannot change the laws of physics.
Laws of physics.
Laws of physics.
You cannot change the laws of physics.
Laws of physics, Jim.
Oh, we come in peace. Shoot to kill, shoot to kill, shoot to kill. We come in peace. Shoot to kill. Scotty, beam me up.
It's worse than that. He's dead, Jim. Dead, Jim. Dead, Jim. It's worse than that. He's dead, Jim. Dead, Jim.
Well, it's life, Jim, but not as we know it, not as we know it, not as we know it. It's life, Jim, but not as we know it, not as we know it, Captain.
There's Klingons on the starboard bow, starboard bow, starboard bow. There's Klingons on the starboard bow, starboard bow.
You cannot change the script, Jim. Up to you, Jimmy.
It's worse than that, it's physics, Jim.
Bridge to engine room, warp factor 9.
Oh, if I give it any more, she'll blow up.
Thanks for listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast. If you have questions, please email info@theperiodictableofawesome.com. Find us on our website, www.theperiodictableofawesome.com, where there's links to our iTunes, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Twitch. Until next time, stay awesome.